NTSB Chairman Hurstman holds her first Oshkosh Forum. Fact or Fiction, Unleaded Avgas by 2013. EAA launches Eagle Flights. This is Aero News for Thursday, July 26th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. NTSB Chair Deborah A.P. Hurstman held her first public forum at AirVenture on Wednesday. The chair of the Safety Board appeared in Forum Pavilion 7 with EAA President and CEO Rod Hightower, talking about the various functions of the agency and answering questions from the somewhat sparse crowd which turned out to see her. Hurstman said that while private flying accounts for only about half of all the flying done in the United States, it accounts for a disproportionate number of fatal accidents, according to a study done by the NTSB. She said there are some themes that seem to crop up in many GA accidents investigations and that could be addressed by better pilot training and pre-flight planning. Hurstman also referenced the recently conducted NTSB Search and Rescue Forum, in which the board heard from professionals in the SAR field. Hurstman said, quote, "No one thinks they're going to be in an accident, but if you are in an accident, you want to make sure you're able to be found and that you can get help quickly," end quote. She said the aviation community should follow the lead of some of the smartphone app developers to work on ways to track where you are in an airplane, much like you can locate your phone when it's lost. There are over 20 NTSB personnel on the grounds of Whitman Regional Airport for AirVenture. While Hurstman admitted it might be something of a cliche, she says, quote, "We're here from Washington, and we're here to help," end quote. George Braley, co-owner of GAMI, that's the General Aviation Modifications, Inc., says the time is now. As we all know, lead in aviation fuel has a grim future, and the need for a solution is urgent. In a presentation Tuesday at AirVenture, Braley said that GAMI is developing a solution, G100 unleaded, that is now being tested and in the certification stage. It is a fuel consisting of 60% 100-octane fuel without lead and 40% ingredients that Braley declined to identify. GAMI's G100UL meets all the necessary operational criteria for reciprocating engines to operate safely and can be mixed with 100 low-lead. The problem is that it doesn't meet all the technical requirements of the ASTM standards now in effect. Braley says these non-conforming criteria do not affect aircraft operation or safety, so he suggests that since G100UL actually works in airplanes, a new ASTM standard needs to be established so that it will be allowed in general aviation aircraft. So far, testing has gone well. GAMI has flown a Cirrus with one tank having G100UL and the other 100 low-lead, without any problems now for 2.5 years. It has also been used successfully in a turbocharged engine. Braley expressed frustration that the bureaucracy is moving so slowly when urgency is required. He anticipates bringing G100UL to the aviation community by the end of 2013 and at a price competitive with 100 low-lead. The EAA inaugurated the organization's new Eagle Flights program Tuesday, with a flight during the renowned EAA AirVenture Oshkosh fly-in and convention. The program, of course, designed to give adults the opportunity to achieve their aviation dreams. Dr. Diane Thornton, a longtime Texas educator and school administrator, who is now national director of the Learning for Life program that oversees the Aviation Exploring program, was the first Eagle Flights participant as she flew in Hightower's personal T-6 military trainer. Thornton had flown with her father as a child, despite opposition from her mom, but had never pursued her own desire to learn to fly. Eagle Flights includes many concepts from the EAA's Young Eagles program, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, after flying more than 1.7 million young people since 1992. But since the program targets adults, it will be a bit more structured. After her flight, Thornton said, quote, "Flying has been in my blood since I was young. I agreed to be the first to take an Eagle Flight because I want others to know it's never too late to pursue your dreams," end quote. After 13 years of steady leadership from Carl von Hirsch and his team, Quicksilver Manufacturing has become Quicksilver Aeronautics, with new owners who say they plan to offer pilots fresh choices in familiar aircraft designs. Will Escutia and Daniel Perez are the co-owners of Quicksilver Aeronautics, LLC, and will continue to operate the business from Temecula, California. Escutia also runs a large business doing DVD production for the film industry. Perez is currently managing the manufacturing operation. Both Perez and Escutia have long and varied experience in production and marketing, with many years of experience with the Eastman Kodak Company. With more than 15,000 aircraft delivered, the majority of them kits, Quicksilver is one of the best-known and established brands in all of aviation. Quicksilver's open cockpit MX series aircraft are widely recognized in countries around the world and are viewed as one of the most affordable and dependable flying machines. Well, Diamond will be flying D-Jet Prototype 003 to Oshkosh today for the Jet Day static display at Phillips 66 Plaza. The company says its recent flights have focused on verifying compliance with the FAR-23 flight requirements. The company is now tooling up for serial number 004. Once 04 is flying, it will take approximately another year to achieve type certification, with initial deliveries scheduled in the fall of 2014. When Aero News continues, F-22 Raptor pilots can breathe easier. The RAF says lethal force will be available for the Olympics. And it's an upside-down wedding cake in the skies over Texas. Glass panel technology lets you see so much more than analog gauges, and it's an investment that pays for itself compared to expensive gyro overhauls and unexpected downtime. Aspen's visionary Evolution Flight Display System retools your airplane with reliable, advanced EFIS technology. With PFD solutions starting at about $10,000, investing in quality, certified glass panel technology is more affordable than you might think. Aspen Avionics, a new way to look at avionics.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
You're hearing it everywhere. What is the cloud anyway, if we're not talking about weather? Find out why cloud services are so important to you. At AvConnect, we've been doing it since 2006, and we get it. Go to avconnect.net today. It's just smarter aviation.
We continue now with Aero News for Thursday, July 26th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says he is satisfied that the Air Force has identified the cause of hypoxia-like symptoms that 12 F-22 pilots suffered, and restrictions he placed on the use of the fifth-generation fighter will be lifted gradually. The announcement was made at a news conference on Wednesday. The Air Force says they are confident the root cause of the symptoms is the supply of oxygen to pilots, not the quality of the oxygen. To that end, the Air Force has taken two actions. One, they've eliminated the pressure suit vest pilots had been wearing, as they were found to inflate when not needed. And two, they've removed a canister filter from the oxygen delivery system to increase the flow of oxygen to the pilots. Still, initial long-duration flight routes will be designed to pass near airfields just in case. The Air Force has also imposed an altitude restriction on the aircraft, so pilots will not need to wear that pressure vest. Training sorties will remain near runways until completion of the Air Force Scientific Advisory Board recommended corrective actions. That's expected by the end of this summer. And speaking of summer, the opening ceremonies for the Summer Olympics are just 24 hours away now for the City of London, England, and other venues in the southeast of the country. And the Royal Air Force says it will be prepared to use deadly force if the situation demands. A series of airspace restrictions will be in effect during the entire Games to protect the capital and other Olympic venues. The Olympic Games began yesterday and opening ceremonies are Friday. According to reports from the French news service AFP, light aircraft, gliders, and hot air balloons will be expected to observe the restrictions, but commercial aircraft will be largely unaffected. The restricted zone includes a small area covering central London and the Olympic Park, while a much larger zone covers the other varied Olympic venues spread throughout the southeast region of the country. The restrictions continue through August 15th. Patrolling the skies will be Typhoon jets and Puma helicopters bristling with armed snipers. Their orders are to intercept any aircraft that ventures where it should not be. Air Vice Marshal Stuart Atha, the Olympics Air Security Commander, said at a briefing at the RAF Northolt base in West London, quote, "As a last resort, we will have lethal force as an option," end quote, However, he said such a decision would be made at the highest level of government, and it would be a worst-case scenario. British aviation authorities have undertaken the most exhaustive educational program in history to be sure the restrictions are understood and observed. Well, we've seen how well TFRs are understood and observed here on this side of the pond, haven't we? In Longview, Texas, we're 2 days into the Balloon Federation of America's National Championship, and already 7 tasks have been flown. If that pace continues, we'll see more than 20 tasks before a new champion is crowned. Yesterday was a 4-task flight for the pilots, including a 3D target in the sky, flying through an imaginary 3-tiered wedding cake, a task that requires skilled use of the altimeter and GPS. Chase Donner has taken his opening day lead of 58 points and more than doubled it, as he has about a 120-point lead over 2-time national champion Paul Petron. But their older brothers are closing in. Nick Donner, a 5-time national champion, has moved from 13th to 3rd, while defending world champion Johnny Petron used day 2 to jump from 14th to 5th. Rhett Hartzell rounds out the top 5 in 4th place, while his father Joe, also a 5-time national champion and mired in 45th after day 1, has jumped to 18th. Another set of brothers, Bill and Bruce Bussey, Longview's original balloonist, are neck and neck at 29th and 34th respectively. Nearing the midway point in this nationals, it's shaping up to be a real family affair. Well, that's the limit of my hot air for today. So from Longview, Texas, I'm Glenn Moyer, and you're now cleared for departure.